Welcome to Revelation Warning, a weekly podcast hosted by Pastor Robert Thibodeau as he interviews prophecy experts from around the world as we discuss current events in relation to Bible prophecy. All of this is to give the world a final Revelation Warning. Now, here is your host with this week's guest, Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Revelation Warning Podcast. We are so blessed that you're joining us here today. Scott Wright is back with us today. Scott's been teaching us about different ages of the church and significant things the Bible has to say and history has to say about them. Hey, man. Today, we'll be answering the question, who do the Israelites believe God truly is? And to do that, help me welcome back to the program our good friend, Scott Wright. Scott, it's so good to talk to you again today, buddy.
Bob, it's great to be on the show and looking forward to another fruitful discussion.
Amen. Let's jump right into this. Doesn't every good Jewish person believe that God is the God of Moses?
Amen. They do. I mean, at the end of the day, Moses was the guy that God used to not only deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians and the Pharaoh, but he's also the one that everything that their nation is built upon came through. Moses was the guy. He's the one that was given the Ten Commandments and the law and the understanding of the tabernacle, the temple, the way their society was to be set up. And everything flowed through Moses and eventually to Joshua when they went into the promised land. Obviously, Moses, because of what happened at the waters of Meribah, wasn't allowed to enter the promised land, but he was he's really considered the great prophet. You know, they have had a lot of prophets, but he's considered the great prophet because he was the one that we understand that the nation was made through Abraham, but at the end of the day, Moses is who it all came through.
Amen.
Obviously the Israelites believe that and understand that because of what God did through him.
So what do they believe about God?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question. And when you are reading the writings of Moses, and that's really what this is focused on, is that God, they see God in a number of lights. They do. And so, like, I have a list of names that I call God, but they look at God in all kinds of different ways. And so, for instance, yesterday, I was focused on a writing that I was doing on Deuteronomy chapter 1. And in that chapter, if you go and look at all the things that are being said about him within this chapter, it is incredible that God's name is spoken just in this one chapter over 20 times. It is 26 times they use his name in Deuteronomy chapter 1. This is just a chapter.
Yeah.
And 13 times they use the phrase, the Lord your God, or the Lord our God, or the God of your fathers, in that phrasing. And so it always seems like when Moses is referring to God and to the Israelites, it is not just the Lord, or it's not just God. It is the Lord your God. And obviously during that time period, and not that it still didn't exist today, but there were a lot of paganistic practices of all the peoples around them that they would deal with, that they came from out of Egypt. And so Moses is always signifying to them that you have one God and he is the Lord your God. And that is referred to more than any other phrase to God. It is the Lord your God. I mean, again, like I said, it is used just that phrasing, either the Lord your God, the Lord our God, or the Lord, the God of your fathers, or our fathers, whichever way he would sometimes would phrase it. That is used 13 times just in Deuteronomy chapter 1.
Man. Well, in that case, then, didn't Moses just reflect God to the people of Israel? I mean, you'd think they'd have a really good grasp at all these things, right?
And that is a great way to to phrase it, because obviously it, whether God, whether Moses would go up on a mountain for them when he went up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, or it was going, once they had the setting of the tabernacle, or they'd go in the tent of meeting, they would do all of this, then God would appear to them, to him and Aaron, and then they would go out and share whatever would happen. But Moses was always the central figure of that, and he would explain to the people whatever God was instructing him to explain. I mean, the entire book of Deuteronomy is really just, it's kind of like the pregame speech before you're going into a championship game, you know, or you're getting ready to play in a big tournament. That is kind of like the pregame preparation. We have basically almost 30, you had 31 chapters of that happening. And Moses is explaining everything that God is telling him to explain to the Israelites. So, yeah, to say that he was reflecting God to the people is exactly right. And amen. And as we see, even in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, as well as Deuteronomy, it's the same thing. We're seeing these events play out, and we're also seeing the law being given to them, and it's all coming through Moses. So it's just like Moses is kind of the intercessor for the people. And of course, sometimes he had to intercede for them to keep God from completely annihilating them right there on the spot. So that happened, you know, once or twice.
Yeah. They and that's what always amazes me. I mean, here you see, you know, the tabernacle filled with glory and all this stuff, and they still don't get it right. You know,
no, I mean, they don't.
It'd be, you know, they defeat their enemies. You know, I mean, it's just one thing after another with them that, you know, do you think they just basically took it for granted?
You know, I've tried to put my, you know, and that's a great question. I have sat back sometimes and wondered, okay, so what would that have been like? And I think part of the issue, and there's actually kind of a psychological phenomena of people who are, like when they were kidnapped, and some people, I remember there used to be a phrase, like I think it's the Helsinki syndrome is what they would call it, you know, and you start developing an attachment to your captors and a dependence upon them. And I sometimes wonder if this group had that type of effect psychologically because of how much time they had spent in Egypt with the Pharaoh, and their memories were long, and their habits were so much of what the Pharaoh had dictated to them and had just basically been instilled in them that they just could not let that go. I think it had been ingrained in them, almost institutionalized, if you will, that I'm not sure that they could totally let that go. And for God to establish what he wanted in the promised land, he could not have that mindset and that mentality in the promised land and for them to be successful. I mean, we see in chapter one of Deuteronomy, when he's explaining about them, Moses is going through and he's explaining to them that they need to be ready. He sends out the spies and all that stuff, and they're coming back, and these guys all of a sudden get fearful, and they don't. And the Lord says, "I'm going before you." He told Moses, and so Moses said, "He's going before you. He's already going to have the fight won. All you got to do is pursue the battle," and they refuse.
Yeah.
You know, the only ones that really remain faithful are Caleb and Joshua, which they're granted passage into the promised land and to lead them into the promised land because of this event, because they're the only ones that really remain focused on the path of what God is saying. And the rest of these guys reject that. And so, and God calls it outright rebellion.
Yeah.
And then they're not allowed to pass. And so I think that fear that was instilled in them, that was still, you know, that had came out when they'd come from Egypt, even though God had already shown his unbelievable power. I mean,
amen.
In less than one night, he had parted waters for them to cross a sea.
Yeah.
And then drowned the Egyptians when they tried to chase him. He had held them off with fire. He had the firstborn of the dead was, or the firstborn was killed of the Egyptians, including the Pharaoh's son. And yet, guess what? Theirs weren't touched because God told them how to avoid that.
Yeah.
They had seen these amazing miracles, and yet their hearts still had that fear ingrained in them. And so because of this incident, they get the privilege of being led back to where they came from, almost all the way to the Red Sea. And I know that they spent a very long time in Kadesh because of this, and God kept them in that wilderness area until they were all dead. And that was, what, about 38 years, if I'm not mistaken, from that point.
Yep.
So, of course, they, you know, they wandered the wilderness for 40 total years. But I think from that point, it was about 38 more years before all of a sudden, now this generation has died off, and now they can enter the promised land because none of them have that effect on them anymore. And I think that I kind of wonder if that's what it was. So that I've kind of tried to put myself back in the place of them. You know, if you take somebody who's been in a certain situation for so long, it's ingrained in them, really without the complete power of the Holy Spirit healing them, I'm not sure somebody can let that go.
Yeah.
And you know, we see that with war syndrome too.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I was going to say. You know, if you relate it to basic training, everyone that comes in has all of these traits and habits and all this nuances that they have developed personally from birth to 18 or 20, right in that area. And basic training is all about getting their attention to focus on what is important.
Yep.
And, you know, there's penalties to be paid if they don't progress in the appropriate manner. Let's just leave it like that. And that's every time I read Deuteronomy, that's what I see. God giving them basic training. Do this. You fail to do this. This is the way it needs to be done. Now you're going to pay the price, you know, and until you get it right. And that's how I always viewed Deuteronomy as basic training. You know,
that's a good way to look at it. You know, and that's what he was doing. And
I remember my first day, you know, picking up new recruits. I am your daddy. I am your mama. I'm your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife. You do nothing without my permission, and you do everything I tell you to do, how I tell you to do it, when I tell you to do it. And, you know, I am the only person that you should care about right now.
That's right.
I can vision God, you know, trying to instill this in them. And like I said, human nature,
yep.
That fallen human nature.
It is
the rebel that wants to rebel, you know,
and for a variety of reasons, but it is always about self. It's always about self-preservation is what it boils down to.
Yeah.
Everything comes to self-preservation. And, you know, you hit the nail on the head. The Deuteronomy is a lot like basic training in many ways. And what's happening in basic training, and how I've described it, is that Deuteronomy is a great book to read if you want to understand the culture God is trying to establish with his people. And it's really no different even for us today, is that God has a certain way that he wants culture to be. And the problem is when culture isn't like that, it makes him jealous. It does, and it angers him and makes him jealous. And if you want to, you know, kind of relating to what we're talking about in the, basically the overall theme is that the end is coming. Well, really what the end is and why this is going to all happen is because God is going to do a culture reset. That's really what it is. It is, okay, I've given you an opportunity. Now we're going to have a 7-year tribulation to squeeze out the last remnant of whoever's going to decide to follow me here, much like the wilderness and the wilderness experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, the people that finally buy into God and what he is all about are the ones that either were too young when they were in Egypt, or they weren't born yet and they were born during this time. And so all they had ingrained in them was God and his culture. But that's the same thing in the end. there's going to be the 7-year tribulation. And then when that is done, that the new culture is going to be revealed, and it's going to be done through the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Christ is going to finally put the culture that he has wanted on this earth, and like he's wanted since the beginning. And we're finally going to have that for 1,000 years.
Amen. And we can see that happening today. I mean, especially, exactly. You know, I mean, this is all relevant. Look at the war between Israel and Hamas right now. You know, yes. Two different cultures. Which one's
very much so,
you know, be predominant. Amen.
And exactly. And these cultures are clashing, and we're going to see clashes of cultures that are going to continue until this is done. And then, you know, I always like to joke, and I've taught civics for years, and we talk about the legislative, the executive, and the judicial branch, and how our government kind of sets, with all of that, sets a culture here in the United States.
Yeah.
Well, folks, God the Father is the legislative branch. Okay. The Holy Spirit is the judicial branch, because he's the one that interprets in your heart. Jesus is the executive branch, which God the Father has appointed as the head, the king, the president, so to speak, and will carry out all his will on the earth.
Yeah.
So, in essence, God is both, is all three. He is the legislative, executive, and judicial branch. And if you read the book of Deuteronomy and you understand the God of Moses, God is portraying all of those characteristics of all three of those branches right here through Moses.
Amen.
And not just in Deuteronomy, but you see that in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers as well.
Amen. Amen.
God is all three. He ultimately is the ruler. We don't elect him. He selected us as his creation.
Amen. Yeah, I think that's what we need to take from this discussion today. That's good. And I think that's what our forefathers seen when they established those three different branches.
Yes.
You know, amen. Amen. Scott, this has been so interesting. Every time we get together, man, I can just keep on talking for hours and hours. But if someone wants more information or would like to ask you a question, how can they get in touch with you?
You bet. They can go to our, they can email me at gccgodcenteredconcept2038@gmail.com. And right now we've also launched the fundraising aspect of our ministry.
Okay.
And we're wanting to now take this to a different level as we've been building material and have done that. I've been doing that over the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're trying to raise the money for me, not only to do this full time, mm-hmm. but also that we're trying to establish some things to help spark the Great Revival. Our job, and I believe we're being called, is to help spark a great awakening, not only here in the United States, but across the globe.
Amen. So how can they get involved with that?
Well, again, they can email me, and then I can start sending them out information.
Amen. Amen. Outstanding. Folks, first I'll put links to all this in the show notes below, but folks, just drop down the show notes, reach out to Scott Wright, get in touch with him, subscribe to his podcast for sure. Be sure to purchase his journal, God Centered Concept Journal, and start learning all about God Centered concepts instead of man centered concepts. I mean, Scott specializes in the God Centered concepts, and that's a good thing, because I think God does too. Amen. So do it right now before you forget about it later. Scott, thank you again for taking the time to come on the program and share all this great information with us. I do appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to the next one as well.
Well, Bob, I appreciate you having me on the show, and I look forward to some more fun discussions that we'll have down the road.
You bet. You bet. Amen. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Scott Wright and myself, Pastor Bob reminded, be blessed in all that you do.
You have been listening to Revelation Warning with Pastor Robert Thibodeau and his guest expert on Bible prophecy as it relates to current events. This podcast is not designed to invoke fear, but concern. Help us to make everyone aware that the soon return of Jesus is close at hand by clicking the like, subscribe, and then share buttons below. Share this episode with your loved ones, friends, and coworkers. For more information on our ministry, please visit podcasterforchrist.com. And be sure to come back next week for another episode of Revelation Warning.